broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Actually, Kurt Crosby is not even with me. It's Sam Bushman live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. And it all starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And boy, howdy, do we got a row to hoe today when it comes to the broadcast. A lot of news everywhere. Let's start with a quick recap of yesterday's show. That's Friday's show, still available at libertyroundtable.com and available at lovingliberty.net. By the way, our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. All right, let's start out. We talked about seven things we learned in an interview with Surgeon General Jerome Adams. Did you know we had a Surgeon General in America named Jerome Adams? Yeah, he's a pretty nice black guy, doing a great job. We don't hear much from him. We hear too much from Fauci taking over everything. I'd like to hear a lot more from Jerome Adams. By the way, Oprah stresses the seriousness of the coronavirus. She says, hey, it's on the black community. It's, quote, taking us out, she says. Why is the coronavirus hitting people that are black harder than the rest of us? Is it genes? Anyway, I guess some of these people are saying, like Jerome Adams, that, you know what, black people need to not drink and not smoke and not do drugs. Well, he got criticized hardcore for it. He shouldn't be able to say that, they say. He used Big Mama and other terms talking about the families, and well, they got all over him and said, how dare he use those phrases? But he says, you know what, I'm black and that's what we use in my family. Why can't I use these terms? Very interesting how they're trying to turn this all racial and everything else. Anyway, enough of that. But I'm interested in this Jerome Adams guy. He sounds like a nice guy. Sounds like he's doing a good job. Sounds a lot like Ben Carson, a guy who's managed to rise above the hood and rise above his circumstances due to hard work. And wow, what a tremendous example, huh? All right, seed companies, they say, can't keep up as more Americans turn to growing their own food. That's interesting. You got man-made seeds. You know, you plant them, they grow plants. There's no new seeds. It's man-made. Shut down, use it to get companies rich. God's way of seeds are seeds, you know, produce crops and crops produce more seeds, huh? And now we're saying the seed companies can't keep up? Why do we need some seed companies at all, I ask, huh? Baby chicks in Utah are flying off the shelves because of the coronavirus pandemic. Everybody wants to get chickens, and therefore, hopefully the chickens will grow up and lay eggs, right? Hour two, Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We talked about the FCC's Mr. Carr. Internet speed up 70% since they jettisoned net neutrality. That's great news and typical. When you get government out of the free market, good things happen, folks. Happens every time, but somehow people just can't get it. I don't understand it. They say this, we're talking about matters of life and death, finally. Alabama case, they say, could start to dismantle Roe versus Wade. Rachel Alexander writes the piece for WND. Pro-abortion activists are on the side of a losing battle. Boy, howdy, is she right about that. We talked about what price victory and the price of war. Pat Buchanan writes an article that says, for each American lost to the pandemic, there's been, in other words, died from coronavirus, there's been 1,000 people that have lost their jobs. 1,000 people per death, folks, have lost their jobs. Is it worth it? Pat Buchanan, incredible article. A record 22 million Americans, they say, have filed for unemployment benefits since this coronavirus started, or over the last month and a half or so. Wowzers. Dozens of leaders are now asking that Steve Stockman be moved to home detention. He's a former congressman. He's got diabetes and a lung condition. They say he's a sitting duck for COVID-19. I pray Steve's successful and pray he gets released ASAP. Utah's Rick Korber says he's vulnerable to COVID-19 and wants to be released from prison, wants to be homebound as well. Marcus Mumford, the attorney that defended Rick Kerber, Ammon Bundy, and many others, is dead. Is there foul play? Don't know. I just know it's very strange he passed away alone in his home, nobody around. They claim he had a pre-existing heart condition, as did his father. The interesting thing is they tased this guy just a couple of years ago in court. So maybe it might be inadvertent foul play, huh? In other words, they killed him, but maybe it wasn't intended to, I don't know, very strange. I don't want to make conspiracy theories out of this, but I don't want to leave it alone and ignore it either. Time will tell. We shall keep an eye on the ball. Wanted urgently, they say, people who know half-century-old programming computer language, they need them to process, you know, unemployment claims and everything else. They're looking for people who know the COBOL programming language from years ago. I guess the government doesn't have the money to update the systems is the problem. So what happened to my body, my choice? Jack Coghill writes an incredible article about this. The abortionists and everybody else aren't really talking about my body, my choice much now. They're just talking about murdering babies, but they've jettisoned that long ago because if I don't want to take the vaccination, if I want to take my body outside and go, you know, meet with other people, they don't want me to be able to do that with my body, my choice now, do they? All right, we talked about Tom Fitton talks about victory. Court orders Hillary Clinton to, well, have a deposition on email and Benghazi and documents, etc. Will that become something? I don't know. Time will tell. Africa's locust plague is man-made, they say. Walter E. Williams blames the United Nations for foisting what they call agroecology on farmers. We also talked about later school times benefit youngsters. When they get more sleep, they do better. You got fewer teen car crashes, and teenagers who get more sleep are less likely to make poor decisions. Anyway, we talked about all that yesterday. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com, and that's a recap. Now we got news the networks refuse to use galore. It all starts now. The good Sheriff Richard Mack, not Kurt Crosby, is with me today. Welcome back, Sheriff.
Well, thanks, Sam. It's a beautiful Saturday morning.
Yes, it is in Coronaville, isn't it, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Did you know there's a guy that did a song called Coronaville even?
Yeah, who was that?
I don't know much about this guy yet, but I got an email from our buddy Rick, and he sent me this thing. It's a song about Coronaville, you know?
Yeah, Rick's quite the musician himself.
Yes, he is. Anyway, I kind of find it funny. This guy's on this video, and, you know, he's got this shirt on. Or he talks about wearing a shirt for several days. His wife says it's time to change his shirt because he's just wasting away in Coronaville, buddy.
Well, I certainly know how that feels.
Don't you think we're all kind of wasting away in Coronaville?
Yeah. You know, I'm doing so much work. That I really don't, to be honest, I really don't feel that.
You don't?
No, I really don't. And if I feel like going outside, I go outside. If I feel like going to the store, I go to the store. I literally go to the store on the average once a day. Sometimes I go twice. I think there was one day where I did. There was a day that I went to three different stores because I was looking just to see what everybody had. And my wife craves, I always say mangoes. All you gringos say mangoes. And it really strikes me and sounds tinny and wrong because I never knew what a mango was until I went on my mission and I was in Latin America and everybody shows these mangoes everywhere and there's like 20 different kinds of mangoes, and we ate them almost every day, and so I just learned it as a mango, and then I get home. But anyway, she really craves mangoes, and we sprinkle some lime juice on them and lemon juice, and then she really likes this little chili pepper stuff that you can put on it, and I mean, she eats it like candy, and then so I'm always looking for mangoes everywhere, and we found some really good ones, and of course they're really good for you, and it's one of the best fruits in the world, and so I always go to the store looking for mangoes.
Are we gonna have the sheriff get arrested pretty soon? They're gonna say your Mongo,
I'm hoarding Mongo.
Fascination is not essential, sir.
Yeah, well, it's hoarding, and that really gets to me. How even Trump a couple of times has seemingly acted like hoarding was wrong, or at least that we just simply don't need to do it.
Well, I think the term hoarding has a negative connotation and is a misnomer of the real intentions anyway.
Of course it is. I mean, if I hoard anything, what am I hoarding? I guess they're trying to say, well, you're keeping other people from getting toilet paper because you have it all. Now, Sam, I maybe have a total of a case and a half. Okay, let's just say, for the sake of argument, I have 2 cases total of toilet paper in my storage room, my food storage room. 2 cases. I really don't see how that hurts anybody. And I did it before the big push to get toilet paper. But I do find it amusing that every single store I go to, and like I say, I've been to a lot, and there's a relatively new Fry's food store in downtown Phoenix, right next to the stadium, right next to the big bank building. It's really a unique setup, but it's right there. And they're out of everything except they do have Mongo.
Well, I'll tell you what I noticed. What's interesting to me about this, idea of hoarding, the communists believe there's one big pie and the government needs to control it all. The free market doesn't believe in a big pie that if I get more, you get less. We believe in making pies. Am I confused? Hold on.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen to it?
Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes. She said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, so doesn't the free market say we don't believe there's one pie that the government has to control, and if I have a little bit more, you, by nature, get less? Don't we believe in making pies, Sheriff?
Yeah, we actually do, and in fact, in my economy class, we talked about how trade and open markets and free markets is the tide that lifts all boats. That's kind of the Adam Smith philosophy, and with that, Sam, and I did this pie example on the board. What it does is it makes the pie bigger for everyone. So if you had a 10-inch pie, you get involved in the free markets and free trade, the pie gets bigger.
Yeah, now let's be careful when we talk about free trade, though. What we need to understand with free trade is it's really fair trade. And I get your point, free trade. What we're saying is we reduce trade barriers, but the fair part talks about...
It is fair.
We talk about open markets, and we talk about a level playing field, and we talk about a lot of these principles that make it great. It doesn't mean slave labor, a bowl of rice a day to be your wages, compete with the standard of living that we have. Those things are the disparity on the altar of free trade, but they're a lie and a manipulation of the free market as well.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's very true. It needs to be fair and honest. And a lot of people who hate capitalism claim that it's not fair and not honest. But the thing of it is designed to be fair and honest. And that's how everybody benefits in that fair market or free market. And I like the word free because I believe that freedom is the key word to that. And
I agree. And the difference just needs to be highlighted so people know because they've manipulated what that means.
And
here's the example that I would give. We believe in capitalism, but we don't believe in the naked capitalist. And the idea about that is that, hey, once I go predatory to take advantage of the capitalist system, I've betrayed the very principles at stake, right?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, and I understand that. But see, no, it's like the American Constitution. And the Founding Fathers said it only works for moral and righteous people. I believe that because they set up a capitalist society with that, that it's the same thing. It only works if it's fair and honest. And
that's
so
right.
I
that's
kind
right.
of assume that with that. But
And I agree that we should assume that because it's true, but the problem is today people are taught just the opposite. They're taught that somehow you're the evil guy because you want this. And anyway, it's a misnomer. The reason that I spend so much time highlighting, you know, you going to the store and your wife and your life and then, hey, this capitalism idea and the free markets and the pie ideas, you know, with that lesson, you should have brought some Dutch apple pies in and giving everybody a piece of pie so they'll never forget the lesson. But nevertheless, I digress. Here's the deal, though. Here's some headlines that I think we ought to really talk about. You and I have been talking about opening the markets for quite some time. We've done a lot relating to that as well in terms of working on open letters and letters to the sheriffs and a variety of things. But here's a couple of headlines that I think are encouraging. First one says this, unless America and its economic engine is restarted immediately, we will be plunged into a Great Depression. Since the global pandemic hit our shores, more than 22 million people now have lost their jobs or are filing jobless claims. I say it's way more than 22 million, but nevertheless, that's the number. And now here's what is being done about it. Members of the, quote, House Freedom Caucus sent a letter to President Donald Trump on Friday, calling for the economy to be reopened as businesses across the country continue to struggle. The letter was signed by House members, listen to this, Representatives Andy Biggs, Jody Heiss, Ron Wright, Jeff Duncan, Scott Perry, Andy Harris, Scott DeJarlis, Ken Buck, Paul Gosar, Randy Weber, Ted Yoho, Dan Bishop. Oh, and this isn't Ted Yoho again. I don't understand that, but okay. Fox News reported, the American people, they claim in the letter, are resilient, but they have suffered tremendously under the weight of this closed economy. Measures enacted by Congress have provided limited relief, they wrote in the letter, but more government is not the answer to these economic woes. Reopening the economy is the answer. We are a free people with a free and a fair market, and the sooner we return to it, the sooner again our economy will thrive. Representative Paul Gosar says members of the House Freedom Caucus also mentioned how many people lost their jobs in the letter and been affected by this virus economic downturn, saying the states have, believe it or not, already worked out ways to stop the spread. All levels of government have imposed measures designed to slow the spread of the outbreak, the letter continued. The American people have responded to the guidelines and the effects of their response are apparent. In fact, some of the states that have not been locked down but been voluntarily following guidelines are doing the best. Unfortunately, some of the measures intended to combat the virus have wreaked havoc on the American economy. Tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs, and many businesses have had to flat out close down. But the Democrats blocked the request for more aid for small businesses, calling it a, quote, political stunt. And anyway, there you have it. Now, here's the interesting thing. I guess members of Congress are working on legislation to fund small businesses. However, most are still back home right now on recess. The full House and Senate are not expected back in D.C. till May the 4th. Anyway, a great letter, and now we see literally congressmen starting to speak out just as we've been for the last several weeks, saying this has got to change. And believe it or not, two people from Arizona kind of leading the charge as far as I can tell in the House.
Are.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't hear a single one of my guys, though, in Utah in the mix. I don't know what the heck's going on with that.
Well, you said a bishop. Is that?
No, different guy, I think.
Oh, okay. I don't remember Bishop's first name, your congressman there.
Yeah, it was Rob Bishop, but he's not there anymore. So.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Nope. Oh, okay.
Anyway, but I look at that and I go, wow, at least they're starting to do something. Sheriff, it's encouraging to some degree, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I'm really proud of them, and it should have been about 435 that signed on to it. But, you know, the Democrats are loving their vacation. And I tell you, Nancy Pelosi, it's amazing that Democrats just don't have a rebellion against her. Boy, she is one cocky, conceited, arrogant little woman. She is amazing with all of this and how she flaunts her riches and her hypocrisy. It just seems like people of San Francisco just don't care how dishonest and hypocritical she is. She really gets away with a lot.
Whoa. Yeah, but you know what? We all let her, though. I mean, why don't they just shut her down? But they don't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't say we, because you and I don't. But I don't.
Well, I'm talking societally speaking.
But man, she is something, and I guess it just shows how brain dead and ignorant her constituency is.
Yes, to some degree, but you know what? I'm afraid we don't take her on properly, Sheriff, like we should.
Well yeah, the media and Sam, we have said this before, especially the 8 years under Barack Obama. If the media supports what you do. And in fact, they even say you're doing a good job when you're actually being a liar and a hypocrite. You know, there's that brainwashing thing, and you can get away with anything, including murder, as long as the media supports you. And that's exactly what Pelosi gets, and a lot of the Democrats get it. Anybody who opposes Trump or opposes Republicans or opposes principles, then the media is going to stand behind you.
You're right, but sadly, we don't, you know, create enough to account. What I mean by that is President Trump could go to different media. President Trump could dismiss the clowns and say, we're not going to do these press briefings. We're not going to take your argumentative questions. He could fill in for Rush Limbaugh on his talk show, like Rush invited him to. He could take Q&A from the public and have open lines. Right now, Joe Biden was able to have a, quote, confidential conversation with President Trump, giving him advice on the coronavirus, et cetera, et cetera. Donald Trump kept the conversation confidential, but Joe Biden babbling about it to donors and everybody else. Why can Joe Biden just simply call the president and have a confidential conversation? And you and I can't even find, not only can we not call the president, we can't even find anybody who can.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe Biden and Kim Kardashian have the president's ear, and you and I can't get close. Well, that just proves the point that I'm making. I bet Nancy can call the president too, right?
Nancy?
Pelosi? Yeah, Nancy Pelosi, isn't that her name?
Yeah, it is.
Along with Maxine Waters, they can both call President Donald, can't they?
Maxine would never call it.
All right, so all I'm saying, though, is what's up with that?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says there are enough testing supplies to begin the first phase of reopening communities that are closed from the coronavirus pandemic.
Every day we're getting closer to the future that we all have been waiting for. I talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. We are getting very, very close to seeing that light.
But many governors are complaining they can't get enough tests done in time and they don't have enough test kits yet. Though in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott says he's ready to start reopening.
We can adopt safe strategies that prevent the spread of COVID-19. And step by step, we will open Texas.
Stocks rallied on Wall Street. The Dow was up 704 points. The NASDAQ up 117. This is USA Radio News.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
President Trump tweeted, Michigan should liberate from stay-at-home orders. Governor Gretchen Whitmer responded.
I hope that it's not encouraging more protests. There's no one more eager to start re-engaging sectors of our economy than I am. But the last thing I want to do is to have a second wave here, and so we've got to be really smart.
Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts wants residents to wait until May, then start reopening.
That phase approach aligns with what we've been saying all along, right? That as we think about getting into May and loosening some of these restrictions, we're going to do it a step at a time in a very phased approach kind of way, the way the president had laid out there for as well.
With many farms and food companies on lockdown, too, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is vowing to keep food supplies coming.
America, agriculture has been hard hit like most of America with the coronavirus, and President Trump is standing with our farmers and all Americans to make sure we all get through this national emergency.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so it's Sam Bushman and Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Get on the newsletter list. Incredible newsletters going out, by the way. But here's the deal, though. I don't think we're taking on Nancy Pelosi wisely at all. We just simply let her do what she wants. But why don't we call a spade for a minute? Let's use the coronavirus as the center of that discussion for a second. All right. I guess coronavirus vaccine researchers, Sheriff, are now using tissue of aborted babies, and they say they got to because they got to hurry and create the coronavirus vaccine. Amid a, quote, global race to develop a vaccine for the coronavirus, pro-life advocates, I'm one of them, are warning of the use of cells for aborted babies in their research. I will not kill children to live, said Roman Catholic Bishop Joseph Strickland to Tyler, Texas. I won't do it. That's LifeSite News. In a tweet, he expressed sadness over the fact that even with COVID-19, we are still debating the use of fetal tissue in our research. The pro-life group Children of God for Life, which promotes ethical vaccines, said that, you know what? They're using aborted fetal cells in these vaccines. Believe it or not, meanwhile, Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott are both joining with Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi and 30 other Republican senators saying, you know what, we got to stop the use of fetal tissue for these vaccines. So literally, that's why they're pushing for abortion to be essential services. They got to have the fetal tissue for the, quote, savior of the vaccines, Sheriff.
Well, why isn't it President Trump and Vice President Pence and all of them at that level speaking out very strongly against that. I've never heard a word about that, and you would think that that would be something that they would be championing.
Because they're too busy arguing with CNN and all the hosts and the people that hate President Trump, but they're not listening to media like us that want the truth and stand for pro-life and support President Trump. That's primarily why.
Well, and some of these ministers that Trump is very close to, they should be talking to the president about that, and it should be a national issue. And you know, your suggestion. That we used in our newsletter to President Trump, that every press conference, whether it be coronavirus related or not, every press conference should start with a word of prayer. And, you know, I'm not saying he has to say it or that even the vice president or any of the officials there, they, just like he did for Easter, he had a minister come in from Maryland and he prayed. And that should be the case every single time. So even if he does two or three press conferences a day, each one should begin with a word of prayer. And that could bring us back and to a unification in this country that, just like our newsletter said, that he would be able to exemplify to the country and demonstrate that we really are one nation under God.
Yes, indeed. So the House sent a letter to President Trump saying, hey, let's open the economy with a bunch of House reps. Now the senators, these senators that I've highlighted for you, listen, over 30 senators, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott leading the charge, and I'm really surprised. I don't really, you know, I'm not a fan of Marco Rubio, but you know what? Good for him. But Florida's taking the lead here, and so are many of these senators. In a letter to the president, they thanked President Trump for his defense of the sanctity of life, including fetal tissue and cells. Anyway, there you have it. I commend them on this. I didn't know they had all sent a letter to do this, but I commend them.
Well, sure, of course, as do I. And, I mean, that's what they're supposed to be doing. And that's why it could have been a much more powerful if these guys would actually do that more often for the right reason. Innocence in prison would be one that would come up.
Oh, buddy, we're going to get to that one, too. We're going to talk about that a lot coming up in the broadcast, because you're exactly right. And that's one where a lot of people are getting released, all the criminals getting released over this. And we'll tell you who the latest people who are getting released are. But let's talk a little bit more about this fetal cell tissue being used for, quote, coronavirus vaccine. Would you take the Corona vaccine if it's derived from these aborted fetal cells, Sheriff?
Wait, say that again, Sam.
Would you take the vaccine knowing that it's derived from the aborted fetal cells?
No, but I probably wouldn't be taking it at all. But no, that would be something I would really be going public about, though.
But this is where you could literally take it to Nancy and crew and say, listen, you abortion-promoting thugs, you know what? Now you want to use these fetal tissue cells to, you know, supposedly save us all. You know what? And why are we looking to vaccines as the answer? Why are we looking to aborted babies as the answer? And, you know, they really need to bring it to these abortion, pro-abortion people, the people in New York and Nancy and all these people that literally want to murder babies that are already born even and stuff like that. Why don't we take the fight straight to them? I believe the pro-life fight is one of the biggest fights, one of the ways that we hold the moral high ground without debate, and one of the ways we could really change the argument and put these people in kind of a very negative light by promoting pro-life, but we seem to miss the opportunity at every turn. And I don't mean Sam Bushman. I take it on. But all these other people, they're just like, oh, Nancy feels different, and she shut down the House from spending socialist money. Shame on her. She's playing political games. Hey, why don't we talk about them using fetal, you know, tissue cells, murdering babies to get the cells to supposedly create a vaccine to save life everywhere, because everybody's dying from the coronavirus. Okay, what I'm telling you is you got to pick the battles and you got to learn where to strike. They're not even touching the, in my opinion, the real hard issues. I mean, it's hard for me when the Republicans want to promote more socialism and give more handout money and the Democrats are dragging their feet. Now, I think they're dragging their feet for the wrong reason, Sheriff. But it's hard for me to side with the Republicans against the Democrats and go, you guys need to free up more socialism money. Shame on you for not doing it. What?
Right.
Am I confused? Is it all reversed? But when you hold the moral high ground on pro-life, I don't think you're in a losing battle at all. In fact, you're congruent with our beliefs, with our sacred cause. But when you argue these other things, it's hard for me to say who's even right. I can't say the Democrats are right for begging for more socialism money and be mad at the Democrats for dragging their feet. Can you? So I don't really get it. I don't understand what we're doing, but we're not taking on the real issues that matter most, in my opinion.
Right. And Sam, you and I talked about this. Well, you, Kurt, and I talked about this, I think it was about a week ago or more, just barely over a week, I think, where you asked, am I going to take the refund or the money for the stimulus package? And it's an automatic deposit into my account. To stop it or to send it back would be pretty difficult, but I have no intention of sending it back. I already got it. I got $2,400 deposited in my account. And I told my wife, talked to my wife about it, and you know the lovely Dawn. So I said it this way. I showed her, it shows to be a tax refund. And I'm totally in favor of that because I do not believe in the federal income tax. And when I get that refunded to me, I felt better. But man, oh man, Sam, I just still feel guilty because it's part of a socialistic deal that they did that with. And believe me, I would love to sue. And I've actually talked to a constitutional attorney before. I would love to sue the federal government, i.e. the IRS, and get all the money back I've ever paid. Nor do I believe that we should be paying for other reasons that you and I have talked about, that every Christian should stop it so we could stop this ridiculous funding, this heinous, evil funding of Planned Parenthood and using babies for vaccination experimentation.
I agree. Now, this is where the real meets the ideal, though, Sheriff. A lot of times we talk about the ideal. The ideal would be for the government to not have an IRS in the first place.
Correct.
The real the ideal would be that the government would, of course, never send us any of this money back at all. And so in the ideal, I stand completely against it. However, in the real, look, they had Social Security rolling years before I was even born. Okay, they had, the income tax live and well by the time I was even born. Now, I reject it, and any opportunity I get to shut it down and to change and to restore the Constitution, I will do to the best of my ability. However, you know what? They have unconstitutionally taken so much money from me over the last 30-plus years of my working life to where anything they'll give me back, I'm going to take. And you could say, well, if everybody does that, Sam, you'll ruin the economy. And my response is, they've already ruined the economy before I got here. Right. Look, when I was 2 years old, they were getting rid of the gold and silver, honest money standard. I had no choice in the matter.
Right.
So when I live in the real, I'm afraid if I give them their money back anyway, then all they'll do is try to take it out of my taxes later and I'll be forced to pay twice. I got it, $3,900, and I'm keeping it. All right, that's the real versus the ideal. When we get back, I've got a barn burner story for you. Want to pick your brain on this, Sheriff? We'll do it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman of the Good Sheriff on your radio, folks. All right, so this is a very interesting couple of stories, and I want to pick your brain on this, Sheriff. Here it is. I don't know if you know who the doctor is that discovered HIV. Do you know who that guy is?
No.
It's a French guy. His name is Professor Luc Montagnier. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's French, I guess. I don't know if I'm saying it right at all. But anyway, this guy named Luc Montagnier. And the doctor that discovered HIV is confident that the virus, COVID-19, was created in a lab, Sheriff. And Montagnier revealed his reasoning on this on a French medical podcast on Thursday, according to the French newspaper Le Parisien. I don't know if I'm saying that right either, but there you go. Now, American media has been swift to condemn anyone seen as even remotely linking the novel coronavirus to biological engineering. They've been very swift to attack anybody saying that. Basically, there's some Indian researchers that basically agreed with him, and then they got pressure, and so they backed away from that agreement. But he's convinced. He says, listen, there's traces of the AIDS virus in this thing, and I'm telling you, there's no way that's naturally happening. It was created in a lab, he claims. Now, that's being completely suppressed in the American news, except for WND.com and the Western Journal. Now, this is a very interesting twist. Some want to link it to China. He tried to link it to China as well. I'm not so positive China is the only one responsible, but I do think there's a lot of viruses that, you know, get created naturally, and then they get merged together or spliced and pieced together and weaponized by labs and by governments, if you will, under the guise or the whatever of research. And this guy's literally doubling down and saying, I'm telling you, this is man-made in a lab. Do you want to respond to that, Sheriff?
Well, he's not the only one that has said that.
But he's got the most credibility to say it.
He certainly has the credibility to get people to start thinking a little bit. So I really have believed that was the case all along. I thought most people were saying that China, whoever did it, or, you know, China accused the Defense Department of the United States of doing it. Whoever it was, whether it was China or our Defense Department, or China stole it from our Defense Department, or whatever it was, it certainly seems like it was reasonable for anybody to conclude that it was some genetic and scientific manipulation.
All right. Now, Larry Klayman of Judicial, or not of Judicial Watch, he used to be of Judicial Watch, of Freedom Watch, now says that, hey, we have confirmed that China is the creator in a lab. And so China's confirmed the coronavirus creator. And then he basically has a lawsuit now of people and governments and around the world who have been harmed. He says, I've been involved in thousands of lawsuits, and this is the lawsuit of my life. So Larry Klayman and crew suing China, saying you created this on purpose in a lab, and you know what? You've done it to destroy the world and get the upper hand economically, and our melting down economics approve it, or, prove that, and there's a, quote, now lawsuit. What do you think of that?
Well, I would love to see that happen.
It's already happening.
Very, creative on his lawsuits. You and I both know him pretty well. And in fact, he invited me to Washington, D.C. about 7 or 8 years ago to speak at Lafayette Park, which is right across the street from the White House. And so he and I, ever since then, have maintained contact. And I think his lawsuits are extremely justice-oriented. He goes where nobody else seems to have the courage to go. He makes a career out of going where no other attorney wants to go. He's kind of like you in the media. You are to the media what he is to lawsuits or the legal profession. That he'll go where no other people in your profession go. And so I'm proud to know him. I'm proud that he's doing it. And I can't wait for something like that to hit court. And people have to prove where this came from or prove that they didn't do it. In a civil lawsuit, you do have to prove that you didn't do it. You have to answer to the accusations. And the evidence, you know, I can't wait to see what evidence is presented on that. China might just be brought down on this from a relatively unknown attorney instead of government officials. It might just be a private attorney.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, the problem that I have with this is it might have been created and it might have come out of a Chinese lab, but I believe there are other labs and other people partnering and involved in it. For example, evidence came out that we were funding some of the labs that were working on this very same stuff. We, the American people, were funding that. But Larry Klayman says the very lame establishment, mainstream media, started to catch up with us, he says. Last night on Fox News, Tucker Carlson blazed the headline, "Coronavirus originated from lab in Wuhan, China." And then he says this, Tucker Carlson, he said, Sean Hannity followed suit, and the talk has been endless. President Trump even saying China lying about the numbers. But he says our confidential sources in China, along with public whistleblowers, confirmed this months ago, he says. Now, I understand it. I'm not so sure that I'm ready to pin the tail on the China donkey at this point. What do you say?
Well, you know, look, if we're going to start criticizing people and exposing people for lying about numbers, well, then I really support Trump going after the United Nations World Health Organization. Because the United Nations completely is a joke when it comes to promoting peace and honesty throughout the world. They have always been run by communists, and the WHO is just a small example of the subterfuge and evil of the United Nations. JBS has been calling for us to get out of there for, what, 40 years, 50 years? So for heaven's sakes, let's look at the people who are actually lying about the numbers, Sam, and that would be our own CDC. They've actually put out to have hospitals lie or fabricate or manipulate their numbers to show higher amount. They seem to be promoting the fear-mongering of all of this. So, you know, if we're going to call a spade on that, let's call it really like it is.
I don't know how to respond to this because I'm not defending the communist Chinese in any way. I agree with Larry Klayman. They're communists. They don't believe in the way we do. They're lying for sure. But I guess I have a hard time thinking we're above it as well. We lie and cheat and steal.
Yeah, that's why I say the CDC, start there.
But what about the United States government, though? On one hand, you know what? We just found in New York.
It is the U.S. government.
In New York, they basically just added 4,000 to their death count for the coronavirus. And they say, we don't really even know if they had it. We just think they probably did. So we added them to the rolls without testing, without proof. They're dead.
Yeah.
Okay. That's as fraudulent as making the numbers less. We're making the numbers more, which is better. We hold the moral high ground here.
If you look at it, the coronary heart disease death rate has gone down because they're attributing most of those or a lot of them to the coronavirus. Why don't they just do the opposite and say, no, that was a death associated with diabetes or heart disease, or pneumonia, or cancer.
Or even drug or alcohol use. Or we could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Now, they also say accident deaths are way down because people aren't driving near as much. And so now, you know, I don't even know if we have more loss of life under the corona plague or not.
Yeah, we don't know because we know that those numbers...
We just have a shift in deaths based on what? Probable cause? Well, maybe. Well, we thought so. Well, we think maybe. Or it should be under that anyway. Or I mean, I just don't understand it. And so I'm not defending the Chinese's position or the Chinese position on this at all.
No.
I'm just honestly asking. And what I don't like about a lot of the conservatives, they don't play the double-edged sword fairly. I'm just saying I don't know that our numbers are accurate either. And I use that New York story. They literally added 4,000 to their rolls and said, we don't really know how. We know they're getting paid to bring people in the hospital under the coronavirus flag, and they get more money when they do it. We know that when they put people on ventilators, they get a ton of money. You know, we know they've been instructed. Several doctors have told us that they've been instructed, whether they know it's a coronavirus death or not, just to put it as a coronavirus death. And, okay, I'm not comfortable with any of this, whether it's the Chinese or us.
Well, yeah, and Sam, we know that's been going on, and we know it's come from what do they call it, committee or the task force to fight this. We know for a fact that Fauci has been giving different numbers all the time. He's been given different warnings all the time. And I understand that can happen naturally, Sam, as this whole thing evolves. But you're talking about who they consider to be the leading expert on these types of diseases.
And this is a guy that predicted this to happen back in 2017, right before the president took authority.
Exactly.
And this is also the guy that did the same thing when the AIDS virus came out. He said HIV was going to cause AIDS. It was going to be a meltdown. Everybody was going to die. He said that back in the 80s.
And
he got caught lying, too, again.
Trump hasn't fired him. Trump cannot have afford him to be out there being an enemy. And he's in a between a rock and a hard spot. He has to keep Fauci at this point. And he's even come out a few times and said, what a superb job Fauci's doing, even when they've argued almost in public a few times. And Fauci has contradicted the president. The president has contradicted Fauci. And we do know, if you watch it, and you know where Fauci lines up. CNN and the other liberal anti-American, anti-Trump media love Fauci. So you know there's a problem.
All right. Well, I highlight Ben Carson. Ben Carson is part of President Trump's, what do they call this thing?
Task force.
President Trump's economic task force. Ben Carson is basically saying, hey, we cannot wait for the eradication of this. We've got to open the economy or we're going to lose both. We need to infuse some significant federal funds. We want to keep things going. So when the problem's eliminated, we can keep going. Ben Carson being very clear, just like some of these senators and some of these congressmen have been, Sheriff.
Well, you said that too, Sam, all along. And I think that you've exposed a great deal. It's just too bad that your show isn't like on this national stage because you've definitely pointed those things out. And it's an amazing process that you've promoted here. And
man, well, it is on the national stage. It's just not listened to maybe as much as some of these other sources, but it is out there. It is national. I'm saying we're making a difference one person at a time. You know, they basically start to say the things that me and Larry Klayman say. They pretend we're nobodies, but yet they echo what we say. And if we weren't there, would they be echoing that? And I think the answer is no. Final point, Donald Trump says to governors, you're going to call the shots. President Trump puts his plan forth to reopen the country. I don't think it's fast enough, but I'm grateful for the start. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Let's talk about the FBI. They're making some outrageous claims. We'll talk about that as Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Sam Bushman and Sheriff Richard Mack. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, and LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.